Second in a sermon series on Colossians, on knowing who God is. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in his inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Join me once again in prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, we very humbly pray. May those things said that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for today comes from the 18th verse. He, meaning Christ, is the head of the body, the church. About 20 years ago, I was walking out of a church building about the same time that school let out. School had actually let out just a few minutes before I left the office. But as is true at almost every schoolyard, there are always a few stragglers, the kids who are the last ones out of the school. And some of those stragglers kind of take their own sweet time chasing little shiny objects and just kind of kicking stones down a sidewalk or a street as they go home. Well, on this particular day, as I walked out of the church building, there was a little boy about 9 or 10 years old who was standing on the sidewalk staring at the church. When he saw me come out, he asked me, pointing to the church, "Do you own this?" And I said, "No, I just work here." And then he said, he asked me a question that I found to be somewhat interesting that I had to contemplate before I answered. He said, "Then who does own it?" And I thought back over the generations who had worshiped in that building, the generations that will come after. I thought about the various governing boards that were currently serving in that church and about the members, both the visible and the invisible members. And then I remembered Occam's razor that said that oftentimes the simplest answer is most likely the right one. So out of a sense of what I believe to be divine inspiration, I replied to him, "God. God owns the church." That seemed to have satisfied him because he ambled on home, but that conversation has stuck with me lo these many years. There are many organizations in this world that do wonderful service. There are service clubs like Rotary and Lions and Kiwanis and Optimist Club and on and on and on, who each have their own mission that they engage in. There are fraternal organizations like the PEO or the Masonic Order or the Shrine or others that they too have their own mission projects that they engage in. There are para-faith groups like Crew and Young Life and Campus Life that reach out primarily to the young. But of all the groups in this world that are doing good work, it is only the church that calls itself the body of Christ. Only the church has the audacity to see themselves as the very embodiment of the living Lord in this world. Last week, I shared with you reflections upon this same passage in which I said, Jesus Christ is a visible manifestation of an invisible God. If you want to know who God is, what God is like, you simply need to look at Jesus and to look at his teachings to understand who God is, because Jesus is the visible manifestation of an invisible God. He is the totality of who God is. He is as much as we can understand an eternal God living as temporal creatures in this world, limited by time and space. Jesus Christ is the most complete revelation that we can comprehend. And this reality reminds me that Christ also fully shared our life and continues to share our life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is absolutely, positively no part of human existence that is beyond Christ's knowledge or understanding. Christ has experienced it all, even the pain of death. When the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossian church, wrote that Christ is the head of the body and the church, he was essentially telling the Colossians then and us today that the church, the big C church for the church universal, as well as the little C church for local congregations, they do not belong to us or to any one generation, but rather we simply hold them in trust. We are not the boss. We are not the owner. We are not the final authority. But we are called to exercise leadership within the body of Christ, the church. We are called to reflect to the best of our ability and our knowledge the will of Christ. We are called to set aside our biases, our prejudices, and even our own will. God loves diversity. God created in diversity. We are not all alike. Each one of us is different from the other. Each one of us has been given specific skills and talents and interests. Each one of us have had specific experiences like no one else has ever had. Since the beginning, since the dawn of humanity on this earth, no one else has been exactly like you. Not even twins are identical to one another. And the gifts, the skills, and the talents that we have been given are not to be used for our pleasure, but for God's pleasure, because God has had a purpose in creating us unique. In his first letter to the Corinthian church, the apostle said this quite clearly when he said, "You are the body of Christ and individually members thereof it. Some are hands, some are feet, some are ears, some are mouths, but we all fit together. We have been knitted together by the gracious hand of God to do the work of the kingdom of God as best as we can understand it right here and right now where we are. We bring our talents and our passions and our giftedness to do the work of being bearers of God's kingdom, ambassadors of that eternal kingdom here on earth. Today in our worship service, we will ordain and install officers to our executive board and to our board of deacons. By your action, you have set them aside for a specific period of time to lead all of us in our common ministry together, a ministry that is designed to glorify God. The operative word here is to lead us. They cannot do the work of the church any more than the clergy can do the work of the church. The work of the church is too big for any one individual or any one group of people. They, along with clergy, can only lead to the best of their abilities. But each one of us, you as well as me, each one of us has been called to contribute our very best, not our leftovers. We are called to contribute our very best to do the work of God's kingdom, to take care of the least, the last, the lost, the lonely, the forgotten, the forsaken, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick and the imprisoned, and on and on and on, Christ's great commandments. We are called to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that we have been taught by Christ. And in so doing, remembering that Christ is with us always, even to the end of the time. And when we do this, we are living into our baptism. Our baptism is never complete until our work here on earth is complete. So let us dedicate ourselves to living our lives to the glory of God, to opening ourselves to God's leading, and to giving ourselves wholly and unconditionally to the work of God's kingdom. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.